section number 11314, reel 7.
Mr. Pettifer, reel 7.
Yeah, he said, a watch. I said, oh, I didn't have a watch. He said, you must have done. And he put me down for one. Same with everything I wanted, I got. And when I got back to the barracks, I didn't report back to the Master of Arms that I got it. I took it for granted that he knew I had. And the draft of the ship I was going to get, supposed to come out at 7 o'clock the next morning. Anyway, I prepared myself for it. I put all my stuff out there ready, anticipating going. And I waited and waited and waited, and I see the draft all get on the lorry and all go. But I was left behind.
Why?
Well, I assumed that he'd either had second thoughts, and as my kit wasn't complete, I had no kit, he took me off the draft. Anyway, the next day, or the other a week or day or two later, I looked on the list again, and my name was on a draft again. And it got their UK draft, which made me very pleased. See? But I've since found out that my mum and dad, they didn't know where I was. I've been missing that long from the time the Penelope sunk until there was months, wasn't it? They'd gone up to Whitehall to find out where I were, and of course they never had a clue where I was. And my mum put her foot in it. The officer, probably a 2-ringer, 2.5-ringer, was at the desk. And he said, we don't know, madam, we can't help you. And she turned around and said, no, you got yourself a good number. My poor boy's fighting a war on his own. Yeah, my dad didn't know where to put his face, she said. Yeah, I said, no, you got yourself a good number. See, so anyway, that must have been it, because I got a draft. But that's when I said I took this light for Morton, because I waited another 7 weeks before a boat come in, and there's nothing waiting there and waiting for a boat to come in, UK draft come in.
When was that you left Malta then, do you know?
I've got to think now. I got demobbed in I think 28th and 29th of November 1945. I only stopped overnight at Portsmouth, and I stopped overnight at the draft where you get to a Samshaw camp. That's where you get to your suits and that. So I stopped overnight at Pompey Barracks, then went to Samshaw to get demobbed.
What was the procedure for getting demobilised? What actually happened to
you? Well, you all go for a medical. Go for your medical so that they know what's wrong with you, when you can't pull any walls over their eyes, sort of thing. And then you go to Samshaw and you get...
What is it called? Samshaw?
Samshaw camp, yeah. Samshaw camp.
Where
yeah.
was that?
I should say... Waylan, where is Waylan? It's not far from there. It's in
Portsmouth area.
Portsmouth area, yeah, there. And that's when, as a bloke named Skinner, old Jimmy Skinner, whenever I was there, he was there. I can always remember when we was only young kids, when we first got to Norway and trying to work out which way the boat's going to go, where is it going to go, towards that way or that way. And we were always on the same gun together. We was going. And when we left, got sunk, he went one way, went the other. But I always come up with him. We'd be in the Mediterranean, pull alongside an oil tanker, the naval oil tanker. Who'd be on it? Be him. When I got sunk and... off the Penelope, and I went to hospital in
Algiers.
Who was there? Him. He heard about it, and he's in a base there, and he come out and see me up here.
But you were telling me about the procedure for demobilisation.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, all it is that you, first of all, you get a lecture how to behave when you're demobbed. You don't, the world don't owe you nothing, you know. Then you might think you're Jack Strop and all that, and you have to use your nut in the civilian world and all that business. And then, of course, you go through from one place where you start off with your clothes and your boots, then your mac, and then your suit. And as I said, they make a fuss, they give him a good meal and all that. But that was it.
Did they give you any money?
That, I don't know. They must have given some, I suppose.
How did it feel like to be demobilised? Was it?
Well, I put it this.
You feel excited or let down or what?
No. I was pleased. Everybody was pleased. But as I say, we were silly because I'd done six years and a quarter of the war, and if I'd have hung on for another 9 months, I could have got 7 years pay for nothing, and 7 years half pay for nothing. And seven and five, they called it.
Because you'd completed 7 years.
7 years, I could have gone 5 years and got paid for it. But you was that eager to get out, right? That you said, "Oh, well, I couldn't wait 9 months and kill me now." But it wouldn't really when you weigh it up. I mean, peacetime is different to wartime. But then again, I got in a lot of trouble when I first joined up because it was peacetime. I mean, the war hadn't actually started, had it? 1940. In 39, and the war was declared in 39, but nothing happened, did it? And because when you got to up aboard ship, they give me a bit of tin of bluebell and some muscle and go and polish that brass up. Well, that, for a young lad, that wasn't on, was it? Or get on your hands and knees and the scap away. See, a scap away is about as wide as that, isn't it? Sinks down so it holds the water. What's that? You've got to wipe that dry, and then you harley stone the deck, wooden deck, and you've got to have, you use one hand and you get another one, and you just have two, like, and
so get more pressure.
Yeah, but two hands, no, two, one in each hand. But the time dragged. It wasn't so much the work; it was the time. I found. I couldn't bear to be waiting. I was more happy in action, I should say, than being part of ship.
You were talking much earlier about the relations between the regulars and the hostilities only. Why was it that the regulars disliked the HOs? Was it because they were always answering back and they didn't obey naval discipline or what?
No, it's because we were, the HO was dragged into the Navy. They didn't join up themselves. But we had the answer. We turned around and said we could earn a living outside where they couldn't. They had to join up to live. That's as simple as that.
I think you said that you accused them of the state having kept them.
The state having kept them. Yeah, we used to say that they joined there because the state had to keep them because they couldn't earn their own living.
How did they react to that?
They turned against it. When I can always remember, this is God put truth. We'd been doing a run. Now we're going to go abroad again, and we're going to go abroad. We've done our run up and down. We're going to go abroad, and
your run up and down where?
Up and down convoying, you know, from Newcastle to what's that, from Greenwich to what's that, wherever it was. And we had a 4 day boiler clearing before we went abroad. Well, there's only one watch could go home, and that was starboard, and I was port. And I went up to an AB, a regular, or a next mess, and said to him, "You going home?" He said, "No, I'm not." would you do a sap for me? I mean, would you do my duties for me? No, I bloody well won't, he says. I don't help HOs out there. They can do what they like. No, they're not, I don't want nothing to do with HOs. See? Well, I had an old boy in my MS. He must have been old Spiller, Bob Spiller. And he was asleep. Well, he's both have been asleep. I don't know if he was or not. And I said, my old mate came out and said, come in home, because he lived in Willing, Peter's. He said, you're coming home? I said, no, I can't get a sub. And just then, another old three badgers, they've been in there quite a while. So he come up and shook old Bob Spiller and said, Bob, you going to have this leave? He said, no, mate, I'm not. So he said, would you do a sub for me? He said, yeah. He said, hang on, he said, I'll ask my messmates first. And he said, son, you want to go? Because I'd only been on the ship a few weeks. See, I was nobody. So I said, well, I want you to. He said, well, get ready, son. Get ready. And then, as I always remember, that old Bob Spiller. Yeah.